Well, Luke chapter 12 in your Bibles. Luke chapter 12, and we'll begin reading in verse 15. It's a story that you know very well. And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." If you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What am I going to do? What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?' So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." The point of the narrative that we just read is of a man who just got totally immersed in his wealth and completely ignored God. And God called him a fool. He was probably admired by his family, maybe even a mentor to those in the financial community. Had the world known that God was calling him a fool, it would have shocked them. Then God brings it contemporaneous with you and I. "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Just how valuable is your soul? Let me give you three tests. First of all, the test of addition. When God made Adam from the dust of the ground, he was a very handsome man, but he just lay there. He was lifeless until God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. He was handsome, but he was nothing. When you add a soul to a body, it lives. Second of all, the test of subtraction. When a soul leaves a body, it becomes lifeless and immediately begins to return to the dust from which it came. Third, test it with the words of Christ in Mark chapter 8. When he asked the question, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" That question, ladies and gentlemen, deserves pause and consideration from each one of us. Then Christ asked a second question, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What is more important than your soul? When you ignore your soul, God says, you're a fool. God does not classify a man a fool easily. His definition of a fool is different from mine. My definition is close to Webster's, someone who lacks sense or judgment. That's where I am. But when God calls a man a fool, it is not just a lack of sense or judgment. It's not weakness of intellect, but rather weakness in his thinking about God. I want to give you three men in God's word that God called a fool. First of all, of course, is the atheist. Go with me to Psalm chapter 14. Psalm chapter 14. Just the first part of verse 1, the Bible says this: the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Two reasons why the atheist is a fool. First of all, because he ignores the evidence of this incredible universe. Turn over a couple of pages and go to Psalms 19. Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night soweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You cannot look at this universe and it be silent to you. You look at this and say, there is a designer and a creator behind it all. When you look at the stars, something in your heart says, this didn't just happen. When you look at this wonderful planet on which we live, something says this didn't just happen. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And Paul addresses this very issue here. Romans chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For a person to look at all this and say, it just happened, makes him a fool in God's eyes. A young man who had been in college one semester came home and was talking with his older brother. And he said, what would you say if I said I could produce irrefutable evidence that would destroy the Bible and God? Here's what his older brother said: there is as much chance of that happening as a gnat on top of Mount Everest saying, I will pulverize this mountain with my hind leg. And of course, he is right. Second of all, why God calls him a fool is because he ignores his heart. the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Not the fool has said in his education or his intellect, but his heart. And the Bible says this, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The atheist has not only denied the reality of God, but also his revelation that speaks to our heart and says, I'm here and I want to be in your heart and living in your soul. All you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, drive 200 miles north of here to the Grand Canyon and realize that it was the finger of God that dug that out. And how wonderful and glorious that is to us. Second of all, the sinning fool. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 26. 1 Samuel chapter 26. And look at verse 21. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm. Because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. He said that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Saul was always playing games with God. He always broke the rules and did what God told him not to do. And old Saul had so many advantages in life. He was tall and he was handsome and he was personable and he was chosen of God to be king over Israel. But Saul was one of these guys always sowing his wild oats and praying for a crop failure. Always playing to the crowd. Always playing with the enemies of his soul. You understand, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. When Saul was finally up against it, and all his silly little flippant sinning was right there in his face, he said, I have sinned. I have played the fool. Eve must have thought that when they were placed outside that beautiful garden, and then she goes through the pain of childbirth. She sees her husband struggling just to make a living. And then she comes across the crumpled form of her son killed by his own brother. I have sinned. I have played the fool. And then old Lot, he comes out of a cave in Zoar, and he sits on a rock, and the sun bathes his face in light, but there's no light in his soul. His two daughters have just informed him, excuse me, that both of them are pregnant because they got their daddy drunk and lay with them. And now they are pregnant by their own father. I have sinned. I have played the fool. And then we have, of course, the materialistic fool in Luke 12. At midnight, God said, you are going to die. And he wasn't ready. There's so many good things about this gentleman. He was hardworking. He was goal-oriented. He was thrifty. He was honest. He was probably a good family man. His work was feeding needy people. He wasn't running a casino on the side that made God mad. God wasn't mad because he was rich. His problem was he was a practical atheist. He just didn't have time for God. There was no time for the church. There was no time for prayer. There was no time for the Bible. He didn't own his business. His business owned him. He's excited this night. He can't sleep. So he's at his desk with a candle going over the plans of the new buildings. And then a faint knock on his office door. And he answers it. Who are you? My name is Death. Why are you here? I've come for you. Wait a minute. You didn't tell me you were coming. Oh, yes, I did. You weren't listening. When your father died, I told you I was coming. When your partner died, I told you I was coming. When you read the obituary column, when you pass the cemetery, every pain you have, I told you I was coming. You didn't listen. And boy, what a funeral. The reverend spoke glowingly. The mayor said a few words. Huge tombstone was in place. Wonderful epitaph was written on the tombstone. One night an angel visited the cemetery and read the tombstone, and with his finger he wrote one word. Fool. And the Bible says, so is he who layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. William Barclay said this, the man who never remembers that there is another world is destined for the grimmest of shocks. I want each one of us to review our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth, the absolute pure truth that your word is. And dear Father, we look forward to when we come to this place that your word is going to be preached. Your word is going to be sung. We thank you for the truth that your word spoke this morning. Dear Father, I just ask that each one of us might be very introspective and that we might examine our heart and say, oh God, I want to be used of thee. I want to make a difference in this world for the gospel. I want my family to be saved. I want to make a difference. So, dear Father, I just pray that each one of us might first of all determine if we are saved or not. And if we are not, that today might be the day of salvation, that we would pray a very simple prayer, something like this: "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me because of what Jesus did for me on the cross." And then, dear Father, if we are saved, God, please help me to be more conformed to the image of your Son so that I can make a difference in this world. In Jesus' name.